You remember back in sunnier times when one of the biggest policy decisions by our federal government was the legalization of cannabis? Those were the good old days, huh? As we continue now moving through COVID-19 and are just hours removed from a throne speech and an address to the nation by the Prime Minister. Daniel Baer is a drugs policy researcher and a professor on the criminal justice degree at Humber College. He's also part of the Global Cannabis Cultivation Research Consortium, and he joins us this morning to talk about some of that latest research. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks very much for making the time. What is the consortium? What is the research that's being done and why?
So the GCCRC is a group of researchers from 18 different universities around the world. 18 different countries, 21 universities around the world. And we're all drugs policy researchers, really interested in a variety of cannabis-related issues. But we've come together because we realize there's a substantial gap in the knowledge about cannabis cultivation, particularly small-scale growers. And so the first time we ran this was in 2012, and it was a really important piece of research because we were able to get some initial data about cannabis cultivation that we hadn't really had before, and now we're running it again. And obviously a lot has changed since 2012. We have legal cannabis here in Canada, and so our survey is up and running, and we're looking for respondents.
How do we define small-scale cannabis cultivation?
Well, you know, in Canada, the legal cultivation is 4 plants per household, but really we're open to respondents who are growing in any context. And so respondents growing, you know, up to many dozens of plants are still able to participate in this. You don't need to be abiding within the legal limit in order to participate, because what we want to understand is what do actual small-scale grow operations look like. And for many people, that might be the 4 plants that are legally allowed, but there are plenty of people who are growing in situations that are different than that.
You mentioned at the outset the gaps that have been identified. So what have you learned through research similar to this in the past?
So the 2012 version of this survey got a lot of interesting data. We're able to start seeing like average yield per plant, how different growing techniques happen in different areas. We were able to measure how different restrictive policies against cannabis growing were effective or not effective in different areas. But one of the most useful things, I think, from a policy perspective is we were better able to understand who was growing cannabis, what they were growing, and what they were doing with it. And we found out that most cannabis growers were otherwise law-abiding. You know, at the time, most everywhere that we surveyed didn't have legal recreational growing. But we found that, you know, other than growing some cannabis, most of the people who were doing that were completely upstanding normal citizens in every sense of the word, other than the fact they grew a bit of cannabis. We found that they were growing largely for personal reasons. Very few people thought about making money. Plenty of them gave a bit of their product away to friends if they had a good grow. But otherwise, they were, you know, not much different than the people who spend a lot of time focused on growing better tomatoes or peppers.
Well, and that's kind of what I wondered about in all of this, Daniel, if it doesn't boil down to finding best practices, really, when it comes to cultivation, perhaps depending on the area where you are cultivating.
Yeah, I mean, we are interested in understanding where people have been successful in different techniques. I think our bigger concern is, just from a policy perspective, understanding what, at least in Canada especially, what people are doing now that cannabis is legal, what they're trying to grow and how they're trying to do it, to ensure that we have cannabis growing policies that meet people's needs and encourage them to participate in the legal growing market. What you really want to avoid is creating a policy structure that incentivizes people to step outside of it and continue to act in illicit ways, because you really want to ensure that they're able to access safe product, that they're not using growing methods or growing chemicals that could harm them or other people. You really want to bring them into the fold to ensure the best possible safety and best possible outcomes.
Obviously, COVID-19 has thrown a wrench into so many things, so perhaps slightly skewed. But a couple of years in, how are we doing in Canada in that regard when it comes to the policies?
You know, overall, I mean, I'm fairly happy. I think there's plenty of shortcomings, efforts. But, you know, if you look, sales are continuing to grow. The illicit market is continuing to decline, and people are purchasing from legal sources more and more regularly. We're not seeing an increase in any sort of potential harmful side effects. There's not an increase in motor vehicle accidents, and we're not seeing any sort of things like that. We freed up a ton of police time because there's many, many tens of thousands of fewer interactions about cannabis. Overall, it seems to be working fairly well. It's been a bit of a slow start. And I think, we've seen, particularly with some of the larger companies, challenges in sort of becoming financially stable. But, people have to realize that this is a market in its total and utmost infancy. These are the first few years of an entirely new way of dealing with cannabis and regulating cannabis. And considering in that context, I mean, I think we're doing pretty well, and we're potentially showing the rest of the world how you can go about legalizing cannabis effectively.
The survey through the Global Cannabis Cultivation Research Consortium is open now. How can people take part?
Really simple website, worldwideweed.nl. We host it in Netherlands, so it's a great website. We've got the website worldwideweed.nl. We've got Twitter accounts. We've got Facebook and Instagram up, so there's tons of ways to get a hold of us. But again, if you want to go to that survey, worldwideweed.nl, available both in English and in French.
Where does it go from here? For how long is the survey open? And then what's the next step for you as a consortium?
So we're hoping to keep the survey open for a couple of months until we get the numbers we need. Last iteration, we had about 6,500 respondents around the world. And we've only had it open for a couple weeks now. Right now, Germany has the most responses at about 600. And I got to say, Canada, we're lagging. We're only about 2% of all respondents right now. So we really need to step that up, considering we're one of only two countries with legalized cannabis. It's a bit of a point of pride here. But we're going to keep it open for a couple months. And once we get the numbers we need, we'll close and begin our analysis, hopefully around January. And hopefully by the springtime, we'll be able to start having some results for people as new plants go into the ground in the spring.
Well, we'll look forward to those conversations when the analysis is prepared and anything else that comes up along the way, as you're a frequent guest on the show. Appreciate your time this morning, Daniel. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Cheers.
Daniel Baer joining us. He's a drugs policy researcher and a professor on the criminal justice degree at Humber College. It is the GCCRC, the Global Cannabis Cultivation Research Consortium. And the survey is now open. And Daniel makes a good point. How can Canada, where it's a point of pride that cannabis is now legal, be lagging so far behind all of the other nations when it comes to responses to this survey? You can go to worldwideweed.nl. And if you're worried about your company's firewall, apparently it's okay, because I could click on the link right here at work and it was able to open the survey. Not that I have anything to report, because I haven't tried any cultivation at home or anywhere else. And it's interesting to me, because you heard Daniel talk about, obviously legally here, we're allowed to have four plants for our own person. Most that I have talked to who had prior to legalization used cannabis continue to source it from their original suppliers. Not as many that I've heard have gone through the Ontario Cannabis Store or anything else like that. So it's interesting that I think the adoption is still a little bit on the slow side, although you did hear Daniel reference that the illicit market is declining. But I don't know if it has declined as rapidly as perhaps policymakers would have hoped when they enacted the legislation a couple of years ago. Anyway, the survey is open, will remain open for several weeks yet, and then into early 2021, we will be able to start gathering that data, or the consortium will anyway, and provide some analysis towards next spring. Worldwideweed.nl is the website, as the consortium does research on small-scale cannabis growing. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the leader of the Ontario Liberals is making a swing through Waterloo Region today.